Now, my next guest is without doubt a mover and shaker. He has lived in Australia, Korea, Singapore, Malaysia, China, and Hong Kong. He speaks English, Mandarin, Korean, and Armenian. He's had his own business, and in 2017, he found the cut method of dating. Plus, he's a certified public accountant and a specialist in blockchain. Need I say more? Well, let me welcome Chris Humbersumian to the 123 show. Good afternoon to you, Chris.
Good afternoon to you, too. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, well, to tell you the truth, your intro, there's just so much there. I don't really know where to start or where to pin you down on, actually, but... So now, let me just say, you've got so much there behind you. Now, have you always been an ambitious kid?
I think it started out of adversity, actually. So maybe when I was in high school, I started getting bullied by a lot of my peers, either for maybe it was my race or maybe it was my appearance, whatever it might have been. And I thought in order to cope with that adversity, I would develop myself and overcome those challenges.
Gotcha. So
I
think that's how old were you there then?
Probably 16 is when that fire really started up.
Gosh. Yeah. So that's quite a young age to suddenly think, right, I need to get hold of this. I can't let this go on like this. Wow. So what happened then? What did you do?
I think the thought process was that I didn't want to be the person at the bottom of the barrel. I wanted to define who I am. We only get one lifetime, so why not try to win it? If we're playing a video game, we try to have the high score every time. So why don't we apply that same logic to the way that we're living on a daily basis?
So that was a very sort of mature kind of channel of thought at that time for a 16-year-old. So what did you do? How did you do it?
Okay, so I had a few different challenges. I would probably say the first one was being bullied very regularly. And that one was probably for my racial background or my ethnicity.
Because you're Armenian.
Yeah, so Armenian background, but I went to a selective school. And in other words, you need to take a test to go in. And just because of the stereotypes in Australia at the time, white people, or let's just say non-Asian people, weren't exactly prominent.
But you don't look. I mean, when I look at you, we'll put the photographs up on Facebook. So you don't stand out. You don't look not white or any different from anyone else, frankly.
So that's exactly the thing. Most of my peers were either of Chinese or Korean descent.
So on a very regular basis, I was being told. Australia, obviously, right.
Okay. Yeah, you're a white guy. A lot of words I won't say on air, but okay. I thought I can either stand up against these people and say that I don't like them, or I can learn their culture, their language, and try to understand what's the thought process behind that. So that one is what started my journey into languages. So now I speak Korean and I speak Chinese as well. I've lived in 6 different countries, or let's just say 5.
So if you can't beat them, join them, basically.
Can't beat them, join them, and do it better.
Good.
And then that also went into other things. So got called ugly. I lost a lot of weight, did some modeling for some brands like Paul Smith and Owndays. So every time I have some sort of adversity.
You know, this is radio, guys. Let me just tell you. This is radio, but he is a very good-looking man.
Thank you.
So obviously the modeling comes in there. So you learnt those languages. Now, was it easy to learn those languages?
I think with any language at the start, it's difficult. You need to learn the absolute basics. And for that period, the best way is to just grind through. But once you reach a level, maybe intermediate, that's when immersion actually starts paying off. So I've seen a lot of times people think that just by being in a location, they're going to learn languages. But let's just say in Hong Kong, there's a lot of people who were born here. And because they never had those basics, they've never picked up Cantonese or Mandarin.
The number of people I come across who don't actually speak it, considering they've been here for like 20, 30 years.
It's a normal thing, right?
So you learned the languages, and then?
And then what I realized was that I found it quite easy to develop myself. At least I had the mindset that I could develop myself. And I really wanted to share that with other people so that they wouldn't have to go through the same challenges that I did. So what that initially started off with was in university, I went into managing events and I wanted to connect different students from different backgrounds all together by doing clubbing events, or that eventually became into starting my own business where I was bringing artists from Korea to Australia.
This is at university?
This is while I was studying, yeah.
Okay, you started your own business at university.
Yeah.
Cool, okay, that's good. And?
And then I was connecting people through events and it was really exciting. I really enjoyed it, but I felt somewhat limited by the fact that in events you have to bring most of the resources yourself. And as a university student at the time, I didn't have enough financial resources to expand it. And even if I did expand it, I would always have to be present at every single event for something to mm-hmm. actually happen. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started moving to other fields. So that's when I looked into hospitality. So I went into hospitality industry for 3 years and I connected people.
This is after university.
This is after university. Yes. So through there, I lived in, I think, four other places as well. And in that period, yeah, I connected people through hospitality. You have a great experience in a place. You feel connected to the country, to the culture, the people, everything. After that, that's when I was in Hong Kong. And so this is my second time living in Hong Kong. So the first time I lived in Hong Kong, I was kind of fortunate that I came across a few friends, and they were encouraging me. Just like, there's a very famous dating coach on YouTube called Matthew Hussey. They said, you have a lot of techniques. Maybe you can put those into a more logical format and start teaching people. So mm-hmm. that's exactly what happened. I came up with the CUT method of dating, which in hindsight, and it really does need a rebranding. It should be the CUT method of life or okay. CUT method
so
of
living. So it's gone through a bit of an evolutionary period, has
absolutely.
It, in terms of what it started at. When it first started, now this is what we were saying, this CUT method of dating. When it first started, because the moment you say method of dating, you know, people's radars come on and think, what's that about? How does that work? So what was the reason to start that? What was there a need in your life, or you saw it in other people that they could do with some help to get out there and date? What made you do it?
So I had a couple of friends and a couple of peers, maybe acquaintances of friends, who all were asking, how do I do this better? Or they were going through periods where they were just dating the wrong people. And what I realized at the core of those problems was communication and also some level of confidence or self-respect. Now, these are two things that are very problematic in modern society. We have so many different views on where we should be expressing ourselves and how we should express ourselves. So I tried to put that all into a more logical format that really just did reflect the way that I've been going through life and the way that I was able to upgrade myself.
Mm-hmm. So how does it work then?
So it's a four-step method,
right.
And it follows the acronym CUT. Uh-huh. So the first step is C for communicate. And at the core of that is being able to communicate what's on your mind very directly with people and being honest. Because once you do that, they're incentivized to do the same with you. And they're also in a position to make decisions relative to you. So if I know your true intentions, I can decide whether or not I want to have some interaction with you in my life,
right.
And vice versa.
Right.
The second step is U, which is for upgrade. So today, the only version of ourselves that we have is who we are right now. So today we're going to be the best version of ourselves, but every day we should be making an active effort to making ourselves better. So tomorrow, I want to be 1% better than today. I want to learn a language. I want to go to the gym. I want to read a book.
You set yourself goals and then you work towards those.
Absolutely. Okay. Anything productive.
Right. And the T?
T is for try. So procrastination is a big thing. I procrastinate. I'm guilty as well. But we really do need to make a concerted effort to act in this positive manner every single day. It can't be something where you take a break and you use escapism for a couple of days or a couple of weeks. Sometimes we do need it. And I think the modern word that we use is self-care or self-love. And
okay.
That's chasing the immediate instant gratification. There we go. It took a while for the word to come back to me. Instant gratification.
Okay, good.
And then the final step is cut. And at the core of that is cutting people who don't add value to your life out.
This is a good one.
That's
just
a big
don't
one.
Tell them, though.
You know, you can tell them as well. So
okay,
if...
So, frankly, I don't want to see you because you're just not adding anything to my life.
Absolutely. If
All right.
A lot of people, they will keep abusive people in their lives just because they have a history with them together.
Yeah.
And that's not acceptable. Maybe we were best friends for 10 years, but today, every time I think of you, it hurts my soul. It hurts me to spend
time. Being honest, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's what it is. Honest with yourself, honest with others as well.
So, do you have examples of where you've applied this method and it's changed? Did it change it for you or for somebody else that you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, maybe I'll go and speak about my original female clients. So,
okay. Well, that's a good point. I'm going to stop there because it's got given people enough interest in the whole cut method because, you know, they could still apply it. And now, obviously, you've obviously changed that to applying to a whole kind of life strategy.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll talk some more. Now, I've got some music here, which I did ask you that if you wanted to choose a track of music, and you chose Drake.
I love Drake.
What do you like about Drake?
Straight from the six, he's representing. Okay. Not that I'm from Toronto, but yeah.
Okay. God's Plan. Do you know, I haven't heard that track.
Really?
And I managed to hear it now because I thought, all right, okay, he wants Drake. Let's go and get Drake. So it was nice to be able to hear that one. So
anytime.
Nice, Chris. Chris is my mover and shaker who is on the 1-2-3 show today, if you've just tuned in. And he's an incredibly talented young man. And he's been telling me about the cut method of dating. So Chris, you've explained it as to how it works and stuff. So give me an example. How did it affect you? You were talking about a particular person who used it.
Okay, I'm going to go into an example of one of the earlier female clients I had. I think that was also a good revolutionary experience for me to try to understand how to refine the entire technique and how to actually guide other people through it.
Mm-hmm.
So this client, she had gone through several relationships and they had often ended terribly. So all the things that you don't want to see in a relationship, lots of deception, people not communicating properly. So we went through and discovered what the problems were. So the first problem was that they weren't being open about what they actually wanted. So they would be telling their partner one thing, and then as soon as they're speaking with their friends, that's when they let go of all their true emotions, when that's really not a very constructive way to do it. I think that the better way to communicate with people is to let them know what is on your mind. Otherwise, they don't know how to interact back with you. The second part was that they weren't attracting the type of people that they wanted to attract. So they had different lifestyles, they had different goals, and when you don't have that goal congruence, you're bound to fail. So you need to have some level of similarity in path. In order to find people that were more suitable for them, we started this pathway of self-improvement. So part of that was that they really cared about health. So they started eating healthy and they started doing research on health and they started gymming. They made themselves a better person. And by doing that, they were opening their pool of potential candidates for a relationship to be more similar to what they want and better quality too.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was also very important was the cutting part. I think cutting is always the most important.
That's the drastic one, I think, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they had all of these people. Everyone in a busy city, somewhere like Hong Kong, has a lot of options. And out of boredom or that need for instant gratification, they might keep them around. What we learned together was that it's not worth the time and energy in keeping these people around, because instead of spending it on people that don't actually add value to you, you can go and spend that time upgrading yourself or meeting new people who are better than them. So eventually we went through this long exercise. It went over a couple of months and they were able to find a very long-term partner.
Did you actually sit with her and say, okay, you know, who are the people that you meet on a regular basis type thing? And did she almost like filter through some of those people then and put them through a sieve and think, nah, this one's not very good?
That's what happened. So
right.
You need to be aware of...
It's quite ruthless, isn't it?
You need to be ruthless. Okay. And there is a line, I won't say a fine line, there is a line between self-respect and being overly dismissive. So that's something that you do need to calibrate by yourself and understand that people aren't actively ever trying to be bad to you.
It's just one of those things, rather personalities and things like that.
Exactly. Okay. Everyone is trying to be happy and they're never actively going out of the way to make your life worse. So
that's a nicer way of looking at it, isn't it? It's easier then, isn't it? Okay, so what happened then?
So they found a long-term relationship. They're still in it, I think, 3 years later, and smooth days, happy days.
There you are. It's as simple as that.
That's it.
And you do have other examples of that, too.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Well, interesting stuff there. Now, I'm going to move on from the cut method and go a little bit more on yourself in terms of, like, you know, do you think living and working in Hong Kong has sort of greater pressures? I think, like, you know, ever since I've come to Hong Kong, I find, you know, people don't smile, everyone's just so busy. How do you cope with that? It takes a lot of strength to get hold of yourself.
Well, you're here as well, so I think you understand how it is.
Yeah.
every environment I've found has a different standard of success. So in somewhere like Hong Kong, maybe financial success or the career that you're in is much more emphasized than other aspects of life. Whereas if you go somewhere like Australia, which is almost the complete opposite, where having a balanced lifestyle and being able to finish work on time, these sorts of values are a bit more important to people.
Mm.
In Hong Kong, just like any other place, I feel that there is some level of adjustment that you need to have. You can't come in expecting that it's going to be just like home.
Like 9-to-5 type thing. I know, because you see, I've come from the UK and there isn't that sort of, that kind of set regime. If you ask somebody in the UK to go and work during a weekend or something, they'd say, are you joking?
Yep.
Unless you're going to pay me a reasonable amount or whatever. So it's just unheard of. You just, there's a balance there.
So one of the newer words that's coming out, so normally it was work-life balance. Mm-hmm. These days they're saying work-life harmony. So it's not so much about separating work from your recreational life, but it's being able to balance them together. So if you do need to go to a doctor's appointment in the middle of the day, that's fine, because you're going to be working on whatever needs to be done at a different time. And it's not about putting one above the other. It's about putting them both in a way that works together.
Okay, good. So now, what is it that you want to achieve? You're at this age. You're only, what, 27? And
yeah,
you've done so much already. Heavens, like... So if I was to ask you that, like, ideally, if you could... Okay, first of all, if you could have one wish... what would that be? It could be anything to do with anything, you know. So what would that one wish be?
I might say financial freedom, because I think that once you have financial freedom, what's the core of that meaning is you have time. And when you have time, you can do anything.
Because you're really saying that one becomes, you're on a treadmill because you have to be on the treadmill to be able to pay the rent, to be able to survive. But if you didn't have those pressures on you, then you could actually be free to do the things that you want.
I'd put it in a slightly more positive light. So I enjoy being at the gym. I enjoy busting it out. But the long-term goal is definitely to have that freedom to do anything you want at any time.
Okay, cool. And how do you intend to do that then?
I'll get back to you once I've found
out. I mean, like, do you have a sort of thing in your mind at the moment in terms of your sort of plan for the next 5 years or anything like that?
Well, I can focus first on my personal life. So my personal life, I'm going through somewhat of a rebrand. So I'm defining what is important to me socially and what do I want to do in my recreational time. So I think I've said it a few too many times, if anything, the word instant gratification, I'm trying to avoid that as much as possible. So things like going on YouTube, going on Tinder, these things, they don't add any value to your life, because the next day you don't have any memory of what happened and you're in the exact same spot as the day before. So now it's about figuring out what's the best way to spend that recreational time that can add value to my long-term life.
So it's really something that's coming from inside of you yourself, that it's about improving yourself more than anything else.
Yes.
That's always okay. But before we finish, actually, I'd like to just get a couple of top tips from you in terms of if somebody is finding that they're a little bit bogged down with their job and things like that. It, you know, the hardest part is to actually make the effort to get out there and change yourself. I mean, change sounds great, but it is hard to do. So what would you suggest are the best ways to start off, almost like baby steps, before you can actually do those things in a big way, in the cut way?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the cut way is exactly that method. So the first three steps are the ones that you want to be doing on a regular basis. You want to be communicating with your coworkers, with your bosses, whoever's on your team. You want to be actively improving your skills, not just saying that today I can't do it, but maybe tomorrow I can. And then you want to be always trying. And then if everything is really a nightmare, it's a train wreck, you'll either cut your employer or that your employer will cut you anyway. But it won't get to that stage if you're doing the first three steps.
Awesome. Great stuff there. Chris, I want to thank you. The time has just gone by so quickly. I can't believe it. But some great stuff there. And thank you very much for being a mover and shaker here on the 1-2-3 show.
Thank you for having me.
And I wish you luck. And maybe in a couple of, let's say, give it a couple of weeks, months, whatever, I'll call you back. And
please
we'll
do.
Find out how it's going.
I would be happy to be here.
Okay. Thank you ever so much.
You.